Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, Youth Radio on WJXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties. I'm Quinn, I'm from Haines Falls, and I'm 12 years old.
I'm Moshi, I'm 13, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Antonia, I'm 12, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Ingrid, I'm 13, and I'm from Hudson.
And I'm Emily. I'm from Hudson. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library.
And Quinn's here today!
Yay! Every Mondays from 3:30 to 4, Antonia, Ingrid, Gina, sometimes Quinn, sometimes
you.
Maddie, sometimes Muda, and I are on the radio from 3:30 to 4 talking about books. Books we love, books we're currently reading, all that good stuff.
You got it, Moshi.
Yeah, I did.
I didn't.
We have
and today it's really, really special because Quinn is here.
Yay.
I see. Okay. Yeah, because Quinn is here and we missed her and she's here and we missed her.
And we're all like, whoop, whoop.
Whoop.
Yeah. Whoop, whoop, cheerio.
For those who are newer to the show, you might recognize Quinn as the one of the people we give a shout out to at the beginning of every show.
Yeah.
But Quinn was one of the founding members of Bound by Books.
She was like
one of the two.
I remember when Bound by Books was really small.
Yeah, it was super duper small. And I want to say a shout out to Maddie and Gina
and Mamuda
and Mamuda
and Jack. I don't even know who Jack is.
Hi, Jack. Creeper smile.
You're giving him a creeper smile through the radio?
Yes, I am.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyways, it's been, you know, like, yeah.
I'm sitting on an ugly chair.
Yeah. Remember the pencil you found?
I did. I found a
that
pencil.
That was an interesting pencil, but I wasn't here that day. I was in Albany.
Pencils and the wind.
So we should talk about books now.
Yeah,
it's a good idea.
All right, I'll start off, I guess. Okay, so I'm going to talk about. All right, okay, so this is how it's gonna work. So me and Ingrid, as you know, she talked about last week.
Awesome person.
Okay, we're talking about book. We're writing a book together, and we've named it
Hateful Suggestions. I know you love the title.
But I'm not gonna say a lot about it because I don't really want anybody to steal our ideas and stuff, so I'm just going to say a piece of it. It's a poem I wrote. Okay, so I wait. Then I give the signal. The subject approaches the object. Questions are asked. The subject is getting angry but doesn't show it. A tidal crash of emotions start to writhe. Will I ever know? Is he scared? Why didn't he tell me? And that is basically saying how a person, I'm not going to say who, is mad at their, I'm going to say acquaintance, because she
means boyfriend.
No, this is about quarter. Anyways.
Oh.
Idiot. Anyways, it's about a person that's mad at the acquaintance because she found out something, and she was mad because the acquaintance didn't tell the someone because they were supposedly, I quote, friends. And they usually tell each other a lot of stuff, but she didn't. And the person is, like, worried about her boyfriend.
You're a poet.
And you didn't even know it.
Surprise.
And what I'm also going to talk about is, I'm not going to really talk about it. I'm just going to say my review of the book. Anyways.
Of the book you wrote?
No, of the book that I read.
Oh, okay.
It's like, okay. Percy Jackson and Missing
amazing.
Monsters. Okay, the series are amazing, but the second book, I didn't really like it as much because it was just
that's
like
probably the worst one out of the whole series. So.
Okay, I don't want to say any spoilers, but okay, I'll like say some of it. It's like basically okay, we all know like the camp is all destroyed and stuff because Luke poisoned Talia's tree, and then the camp is falling apart, and Percy and Annabeth go to find Grover. The satyr to find the golden fleece.
Grover!
And it's pretty obvious that they get it back to camp, but something else happens. And, I mean, the way they get it back to camp, it's so easy. It's like, they don't really have a lot between them besides them and the humongous Cyclops. It's just
Cyclops. I mean they have the lady and the
yeah, they have the lady, hamsters. But it's not really it's just whatever.
And the sirens.
But it's not
that was a cute moment.
It was, but it's not a lot. Oh, and guess what? She kissed his cheek in that one too.
Oh, they're so cute. Persebeth people.
Yeah. Okay, so
what book did you read in like the billions of months that you were away, Quinn?
Well, one of the first books that I read in like September, I actually listened to the audiobook. I don't know if that counts, how much that counts.
It counts.
It counts 100%.
110% maybe. Because it takes a little longer, I think, to listen.
Oh, yeah. But you can do other things.
But no, just 100% is fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's Terry Pratchett's new book, of course. Ha ha ha. And it's called Dodger. And it's not in the Discworld series. Surprise, surprise.
The Discworld is where, like, the Earth thingy, right? Oh, whoa.
Yeah, like, the 37 books in this one series that he wrote. But this one, it's based in Victorian England. We're in...
England!
Yeah, woohoo.
Pip, pip, cheerio, mate. Yeah. Actually, I'm English.
It's Victorian England, and we're in, like, the... poor area, and Dodger is a, I forget what they call it. I just know that he works in the sewers, picking up like all the coins and stuff that people accidentally throw into the sewers or into the drains.
Or into the toilet.
Yep. And yeah, like collecting it. And it's basically where he lives down there, like spending all his time there.
That's kind of gross.
Well, it's sad, but I mean, it's the way he has to make his living.
Oh yeah.
And I think it's kind of funny the way he approaches it, and he's like, everybody knows Dodger. Everybody in the lower classes knows Dodger, and he's energetic, and he's in his 20s, and he's really cool. But one day. During the night, he's walking through town, and he sees a girl getting beaten up, and he saves her life. And two middle class gentlemen come by, and they pick her up and bring them to one of their houses, and they've never met her, and they take care of her, and they like nurse her back to health. And Dodger, he waits until she wakes up, and he asks her where she comes from and why those men were hurting her. And she won't say. She won't tell him anything. They have a feeling that she's foreign, but they don't really know. She's very mysterious. And one of the men, his name is Charlie Dickinson. You want to guess who that is?
Charles Dickinson.
Yeah. When he was a journalist, and he says that he should take care of her, even though he's staying at the middle class's gentleman house, and he's working on finding out what's going on with this girl who he become very fond of, really likes. And even though it's really serious subject of the book that we have this poor girl, it's a really fun, upbeat book, and practically anyone can read it. Like, it's not that bad. I mean, what happened to the girl, they were trying to kill her, but it wasn't anything really, really bad. And you're 100% certain at the end there's going to be a happy ending. Terry Pratchett always gives a happy ending. It's kind of one thing.
Because the ending is always happy, all the time.
Yep.
Always.
Yep. Even if bad things happen, it's always like a kind of happy, upbeat. And Dodger is a very upbeat person. Except when talking about, he keeps going on about the Judy and Punch show. Because he gets really, like, he'll see it in the street and he gets really angry at it. It's like the puppet show where you have, like, the little clown with the big stick. And he gets really annoyed at that.
So, like... the foreign lady, like, or whatever, she's like, do they eventually find out, like, why the men were beating her and stuff? Yeah. And, like, who were the men?
I think they were just thugs who were being paid by someone really rich, actually, who, I can't tell you what happened to the girl, obviously.
It seems really interesting.
Does she talk, but, or is she, like, mute? Does she talk but not say where she's from?
Oh, she'll talk. She's a pretty funny person, pretty interesting. But she just won't talk about what happened.
So do Dodger and her eventually, like, become together and stuff? Or is that, like, a surprise?
It's not much of a surprise. I mean, what happens to them? You get the idea as it goes along.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I have a feeling where this is going.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting book. What book did you bring, Ingrid?
I brought The Rain, The Maze Runner by by James Dashner. And it's about this boy, and I'll read the back. It says, "Everything is going to change. When Thomas wakes up in the lift, the only thing he can remember is his first name. He has no recollection of his parents, his home, or how he got where he is. His memory is empty. But he's not alone. When the lift's door opens, Thomas finds himself surrounded by kids who welcome him to the glade. A large expanse enclosed by stone walls. Just like Thomas, the gladers don't know why or how they got to Glade. All they know is that every morning, as long as anyone can remember, the stone doors to the maze that surround them have opened. Every night, for just as long, they've closed tight. Every 30 days, a new boy is delivered in the lift, and no one wants to be stuck in the maze after dark. The gladers are expecting Thomas's arrival, but the next day, a girl is sent up, the first girl ever to arrive in the glade. And more surprising yet is the message she delivers. The gladers have always been convinced that if they can solve the maze that surrounds the glade, they might find their way home, wherever that may be. But it's looking more and more as if the maze is unsolvable. And something about this girl's arrival is starting to make Thomas feel different. Something is telling him that he just might arrive, just might have some answers, if he can only find a way to retrieve a dark secret locked within his own mind."
That sounds really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really quick because I finished, like, the first 5 chapters in, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's really good. Yeah.
It seems like it's kind of interesting how, like, if there's just boys, and then suddenly a girl comes with a message.
Oh, Lord. I can imagine what it must be like to be, like, for that girl.
Yeah. It's like, but what kind of, like, I don't know. It's like kind of suspicious that, like, why did it have to be a girl? Like, why couldn't be, like, I don't know, an older man be me? Because, I mean, it's probably, like, boys, like, teens. Like, maybe, like,
yeah, they're 10. All teens. They're, yeah, like teens. They're, like, 8 to 17.
Yeah, 8 to 17. They're, like,
the oldest kids. One is 17, and yeah. He's the leader.
And, but I don't understand, like, why couldn't they send, like, a woman or, like...
Because that's the way that the writer wanted it to be.
I know.
Yeah, Farzana. Yeah, stop but questioning
there,
it.
Yeah, but wouldn't there be, like, kind of maybe a specific reason, like, behind that?
Well, my really silly reason that doesn't really give you an answer is that a young girl would be the one that would cause the most conflict.
Yeah, like, all the boys would be like her.
And it's like, hey, there's a girl. How creepy. You know, like, you have, like, someone.
I wouldn't,
like,
feel safe if I was the only girl there. I'd be like, oh, like, no, please, like, help me.
30 girls. Like, yeah. And making her special is another reason for making lots of, like, problems.
Yeah, it's like, and then boys fighting over you while you're, like, the only girl. And you're, like,
it's like, going, I don't want any of you.
You're, like, going to, like, I don't know. For some reason, when they said, like, the only girl, she kind of reminded me of Artemis. Because
Artemis?
Since she's, like, the virgin she's, like, the virgin goddess. It's, like, well, so it's just a bunch of guys. Yeah. No. Well,
she's a maiden. Like, well, Artemis.
But she still had kids.
Brain kids. No, it's serious. She has an intellectual connection with a man, and then she has kids. That's how she has kids.
Anyways, Yeah, so.
At least that's how it happened to Percy Jackson.
Yeah.
That's how all babies are born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously, duh.
They just stare at each other and they're like,
they're like,
let's
oh,
make a
I
baby
understand.
With our brains. And then, boop, 9 months later, pops out a baby. Yeah, that's very weird. Anyway,
don't listen to whatever anyone else tells you. We're telling you the true stuff.
Yeah, kids out there that are 10 and younger.
Don't listen to what your parents tell you. We're
brain babies, brain babies. Brain just babies, listen to man. Us. We know what we're talking about. Brain babies. Brain anyways, babies. So like the Maze Runner, it sounds good. Thomas and does it say the girl's name?
No, but I think I've heard people on like Facebook because you know I follow those pages that are like, I'm a half-blooded avian camper at Hogwarts. They say her name, but I forgot it.
Oh, well, yeah, she sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing Thomas is the Maze Runner.
I don't know. I hope so. Because that would boggle my mind if he wasn't.
Boggle your mind?
Boggle my mind.
What book did you bring, Antonia?
Well, I actually brought this book like a couple months ago, or weeks ago, some time ago. Anyway, I've been really busy, so I've sort of been like, even though I really love it, and whenever I read it, I'm like, oh, must keep reading. And then it's like, come empty the dishwasher, or ooh, must keep reading, now we have to go, or ooh, must keep reading, so solve this. Anyway, I always find half people always are stopping me, and it's very sad. And it's called, it's coming out in February. It's an advanced reader's copy because I'm special. And it's called How to Lead a Life of Crime by Kristen Miller, I think. And it's really cool. And I read the first 30 pages thinking that the main character was a girl, and then I found out it was a guy.
Oh my goodness.
And I was like, oh.
Wait, what's it called again?
How to Lead a Life of Crime.
Oh.
It's about this guy, his name's Flick, and he is a pickpocket.
I remember this.
Okay. Anyway. And he's a pickpocket in New York City. And he is always striving to become stronger, and stronger. Better. And better. He believes that, you know, the world is all...
I'm your sound effects person.
All, like, bad, but, like... It's not bad, but it's not all like fairies and dandelions and unicorns.
That would be nice.
I know.
That'd be very girly too.
Anyway, so then he has a really, well, his brother died and he was murdered, and he was really close to his brother whose name was Jude. And he's got like one friend or relationship left in the whole world, and her name is Joy, spelled G-O-I. And they're sort of like a thing, but not really. It's kind of confusing. And she also lives out on the streets. And then he has this really bad relationship with his father. And so he isn't really in touch with him anymore. Because Flick lives on the streets. And his father's like a big billionaire businessman. Who gained all his money by like crime and robbing people and fraud and stuff like that.
Didn't he get caught?
No, because he's really good at it. And he went to this special school for criminals, and it's supposed to be like the...
What is wrong with people? Why would they make a school for criminals? That's like basically like putting a big sign on your forehead, like writing on your forehead, yeah, I just went and robbed a bank, like arrest me now. Like, what is wrong with people?
It's okay. They think that it's like the outsiders think that it's the top school in Manhattan, and it's really hard to get into, and they call it the Mandel Academy. And everyone who goes there ends up going to Harvard, and everyone who comes out is really smart. But
because they can rob people.
But and that the outsiders think that it's just a normal school that's really high tech and hard to get into. But really, they select, like, the guy who runs it will just go on the street and specially select people who are either pickpockets or have had something bad happen to them. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, okay, I'm going to train you to become really successful. And everyone who leaves the school ends up being really successful.
But they never went to Harvard and all
they
that
do,
stuff.
They do. Oh. They end up going to Harvard and stuff. They get scholarships and everything because they're secretive that they're really criminals.
Oh.
And so he picks, the guy picks Flick, and Flick doesn't really want to go to it, but Flick knows, or he believes, that his father actually was the one who murdered his brother, and so he wants the proof, and Mandel, the guy who owns the school, has this proof that it was his father. And so Flick is willing to do anything to get this proof. And while he's at the school, he meets this girl, and her name's Gwendolyn, and she's perfect in every way. She's fit, she's strong, she's smart, she's beautiful and pretty and amazing, but he doesn't really like her. And one of my favorite lines, she says, like, Flick says, you know, some guys like to play with Barbie doll, some guys like perfection, but I was never one who enjoyed playing with Barbies. So basically what he's saying is he's not really interested in this Gwendolyn girl. He wants to keep remembering Joy, but in order to, like, graduate from the school and be successful and everything, he has to leave his whole past life behind.
Oh my gosh.
And Gwendolyn, who's, like, the top student at the school in all her classes and everything, is really into him, and she's always like, hey, Flick, eyelash bat, you know. And he realizes that Mandel doesn't play fair, and the only way that he'll be able to graduate and get his proof is if he goes out with Gwendolyn and forgets about Joy and everything. So he pretends to like her, and they end up going out. But he keeps on trying to save the people who are at the bottom of the classes. Like, one of the girls is going to get expelled, and so he tries to save her. And same thing happens to a lot of the guys who are at the bottom of their classes. But later he finds out, like, this dark secret sort of thing, that the school isn't really as perfect as it seems to be. And I'm not going to say what that is, because it's a surprise. And I'm, like, halfway through this book, and it fell down a flight of stairs, and my book got ruined. But I can still read
it. Okay?
It's just really ripped and stuff.
Is it going to make it?
Yes, it's going to make it. It's going to survive.
It's like, people go, like, crazy when they drop their phone. But, you know,
we,
like,
drop
but
our
then,
books sometimes.
But then when my book drops, I'm just like, are you okay? Are you
my
okay?
Page.
And then someone picks it up for me, and I'm like, are you okay, baby? Are you okay?
And your friends are like, well... Okay,
yeah.
Bye. Yeah.
Yeah.
The funniest book injury I ever saw was a book got returned to the library, or maybe donated to the library, that was clearly chewed up by a dog. And the book was called Oogie. And the tagline for Oogie is a dog like only a owner could love, or something like that.
Oh,
so
my
it was
gosh.
A book about a dog that was eaten by a dog. Uh-huh. And I thought that was really funny.
Did someone
actually still have the book?
Did someone's dog, like, in real life actually chew it?
I assume so. That's what it looked like.
Oh, okay.
I guess it could have been a cat that was really angry. They had a dog book.
They were like, argh.
But it looked like some pretty substantial teeth had
maybe
gone
the
into
dog
there.
Dog didn't like the dog in the book, and so it decided to eat it.
Speaking of cats and dogs, what I think is really funny is that when a dog gets scared of a cat, like my sister's husband, like, they have a really aggressive kitty, and, like, it just pounces at the washing machine when it's just doing its job. And, like, his roommate or whatever, or the person, whatever, has a puppy, and then the kitty is, like, really, like, obnoxious and playful because it's still a kitten. It, like, tries pouncing on the puppy, and the puppy runs away because it got scared.
I like puppies.
But anyways, we have to go now. So tune in to us next Monday and every Monday that follows from Thursday to 4 on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Bye!
See ya!
We love you!